Robin, Alderman of the Third Ward. And I want to thank you all for being a part of this committee, caring so much about Hudson and the advancement of Hudson. And for the sake of this meeting, I thought it would be worthwhile to do introductions, allow everyone an opportunity to speak to their visions and ideas about the tourism board. And we also have Sam, who would like to chime in about his ideas in regards to the waterfront and see how he can collaborate with the tourism board. And so, yeah, we'll jump right into it. Yes.
Calvin, before you get started, I just want to give you one bit of information that I think you should all know, and that is, at present, there is exactly $251,000 sitting in an account, and by the time you guys get moving, your total money in the account will probably be $426,000.
Wow. Okay?
So, spend it wisely.
426?
426, yes. That's the estimated, yeah.
Parsimonious.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of opportunity.
It does. It does. It sounds great.
And so, yeah, so I'll open the floor to the members. Figure you can give an introduction, can talk a bit about your expertise, what it is you can, everyone is talented and gifted here, so what we can bring to the table. And, so I'll stop talking and let you guys introduce yourself. We can do a round table or whomever would like to volunteer.
I guess I'll go first. My name is Hannah Black. I own Little Dev's Oasis, which we've been in business for about 4 years now, which is crazy. I've lived in Hudson for like maybe almost 7 years. I just had a baby like 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah, lots happened. I guess the tourism industry in Hudson is important as a business owner, especially a restaurant. You know, we see spikes on the weekends that, you know, like, especially holiday weekends are huge for us, especially during the winter months. Summertime is you know, bonkers craziness, but the wintertime, we do feel the hurt from that, except for these holiday weekends that really kind of push us through. So, it's something that's important to me, but also as like someone who lives here, and I think even through our restaurant, we can't rely on tourists alone to pay our bills, and so the locals are just as important. And so I think I'm interested in how we can bring people to Hudson, but in a sustainable way, to also be good for the local community. I guess that's all. Anyway.
CC Graham. I'm currently one of the co-managers at Rolling Grocer 19, which is on the second street in Hudson, which would be the first ward. Prior to that, I was a business owner in Hudson since 2008, diversifying from laundry, wash and fold, MoneyGram, and U-Haul. So I have seen my share of the ebbs and flows of what it means to be in Hudson and be looking for a local business consistently, as well as the spikes that tourism has to offer. As a local grocery store now, we are more interested in the local connections that are made and how to bring that in with tourism as a way to say that even though we're living here, there's so much we don't know about this county, and trying to thrive it so that it's a 12-month thing and not just seasonal. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities, missed opportunities, between this county and the border counties, like where there's skiing options, and just overall, even trying to get some of the youth to kind of participate in that as a way to say when people come to visit, it's not just for adults, but for children. So I'm really interested in that kind of collaboration and the collaboration between all the wards benefiting from tourism, not just from it coming outside, but from within as well.
I'm Sydney Long, and I've lived in Hudson for 4 years. I really walk up and down Warren Street all the time, so I have talked to a lot of people, and I have a sense of what some people's problems are, what the high points are. But I was on the tourism board for three meetings in the last session, And I learned a lot because I learned that wonderful people on the tourism board, really fine business owners. But they started off with the ladder against the wrong building, because they started off asking for request for proposals to brand Hudson. Hudson has a brand. We have a brand that, you know, people all over the United States know about us. They know about us in Europe. So it's like, so right away they're asking for something that we don't need. And then people responded, and then they picked a particular proposal that I thought was very inferior. And because even though the request for proposal laid out all the wonderful things about Hudson, the proposal didn't even said, we want to make Hudson a destination of distinction. Well, if it, just Google Hudson and you find out that it's a destination of distinction. So I felt very strongly that that was a good candidate. But what happened was, by the time they had gone through all the proposals and picked four and listened to four presentations, there wasn't any time left. So that was their, they had done theirs. But they also did a brainstorm where they listed so many good things about Hudson that you can implement right away. And I feel like maybe when we go into our next meeting, you know, that there are so many things. For example, we don't have a website where you can go on the website if you come to Hudson and find out exactly what's going on, where you can eat and things like that, and art openings. There is a website on the city. On the city has a website that recommends for tourism. And I printed this out. There were five things you could do. The first one was in Great Barrington. The second one was in, where's the other? It's another town in, it's another town in Massachusetts. And then there were two in Helsinki, and then the third one was, the fifth one was also in this Massachusetts town.
Egremont?
No, it wasn't. It was called
Lee Lennox.
I don't know why, I can't remember. But anyway, so anybody going on that as a tourism, there's basically, you know, if they're sending you to Massachusetts,
yeah.
Sheffield.
Uh-huh.
Sheffield.
Ah,
Sheffield. Yeah. So to me, that's, and everything else on the tourism website, that they it's Hudson, New York, which looks like Hudsonny.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their website. It starts off with things 2018. Nothing is updated from 2018. So to me, getting a good website design, and then the second part of it is keeping it current. You know, if that's, it has to be kept current, and that's going to take somebody to dedicate, some dedicated person, and it's going to cost money. And that's why I think, you know, when we have our, when we decide what our priorities are, I think that's, to me, because I've talked to several innkeepers, and they said, when people come here, they're like, well, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, when you go to this website, and you find out if stores are having sales, you find out everything. I think it should, because there's so much, you know, there's so much to do here. Like tonight, there's a wonderful program at the library, and TSL also has a program. So those things should be on the website, that for the locals as well. And I told Tom, I read a thing, is that my feeling is that tourism begins at home. We have to start here. We have to bring people in. There are people all over Hudson that have no idea some of the really good things that are going on, or new restaurants that are opened. And so I think that's a real challenge for us, and I think we could do a lot and get a lot accomplished. And the other thing is, as far as Hannah goes, one of the things when I got on the tourism board, I realized that the upstreet Hudson, uh-huh. Once you cross over to 7th Street, that's a difficult place to get to, and a lot of people don't know all the wonderful things that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that, you know, if you had a special little fair or a, you know, something to make, to actually send out to magazines, that's the other thing. Third person, it has to be picked up by a newspaper or a magazine and send out, say, we're going to have a fair on the upstreet fair or whatever it is. And then at all of the stores that are up there and the restaurants, you know, the couple of restaurants.
Well, there's the park, too, which I think would be a great place to have, like, a a block party or something.
Yeah, a block party is a great idea. So, I mean, I think there's just so much opportunity, but for me, I think the website is really important.
So I'm Chris McManus. My specialty is marketing, particularly change or challenger strategies to kind of change something that is status quo and needs to be upgraded somewhat. I'm thrilled to be on the board. I'm thrilled that it's kind of a reboot of the board with some, with two members who are coming back and we've had some continuation. I'm really thrilled at the concept of, I want us to pull back and ask ourselves what tourism is, because I think the definition of tourism to a lot of people ingrained in our head is people from Brooklyn coming up for the weekend. And that doesn't have to be tourism. I've noticed that there's a strong anti-tourism sentiment that's biased, that's building in Hudson, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that tourism is seen as just that. How do we get people from Hudson? And I really want us to, as a board, I want us to look at what I call the three spheres of tourism for Hudson. So the first sphere would be exactly what people are thinking, which is the overnight stays. And they're important. Let's get people, you know, from New York City. But let's also remember that Boston is just as close or accessible as New York City. So let's look at those and expand ourselves in that sense. But then two, let's look at what I call local tourism. Let's get people from Saugerties, Kingston, Grace Barrington to come to Hudson. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived for almost 20 years in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and people would say, well, there's no tourism in Park Slope, Brooklyn. And I'm like, but there is. All of the people who live in surrounding neighborhoods, because Park Slope had more restaurants, more things to do. So we should be getting people from Ghent. We should be getting people from Copenhagen to come. And then the third sphere, and this is a sphere that nobody ever talks about, is microtourism. How do we get people from Worth Avenue, where I live, to go to Lower Warren? How do we get people down in Lower Warren to come to Upper Warren? And how do we get people to go to shops that aren't even on Warren? And one of the biggest challenges that we have with tourism in the city is that it is this priority towards people who don't live here. But we should be looking at opportunities to get people in the city to go to Little Debs, to go to the Rolling Grocer. So I'm kind of excited to work with the group on looking at those opportunities and hopefully changing the public perception of tourism into something that's really good.
Great. Absolutely. And yeah, I think that's right on target with the vision of the mayor's office as well. And, you know, all things mentioned, I think we have a collective group here to accomplish, you know, these all visions. And so, again, I'm looking forward to a fruitful year. And, you know, for the sake of just delegating, this is something that we can obviously continue to hash out in our upcoming meetings to address, you know, matters of a website and just programming all around. And so, with that said, if the members don't mind, I would like to offer Sam the floor to talk to his ideas in regards to the waterfront.
Awesome.
Cool. Thank you. Can I just talk from right here? Is that?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
You have to go right up there.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
As low and as much as corner as possible. Well, thanks so much, Calvin. And it's really exciting to hear hear the introductions. I'm really glad to be at the first meeting. Just so everyone knows, I was talking with Calvin just about the waterfront in general, and he suggested this might be a good forum to come to, and so that sort of is where this came from. And I've been in Hudson for about 10 years, and the waterfront has like transitioned from sort of like a fascination to just like a focus of my life almost completely these days. I've done a lot of work with the Hudson Sloop Club. A lot of that work started out actually in the public schools, doing like boat building with kids.
Oh, nice.
And then even some of those boats were just launched at Oakdale. So, you know, like we can think of a lot of different assets for the water we have here. And then my interest was really in getting the kids on the boats, less about the boat building. So that transitioned into a program that I've run for the Sloop Club for the last 5 years, which is called Community Sailing. Which is just a very simple initiative we do where Once a month, we post up at the waterfront with a little sailboat, and we just invite people to come out sailing with us, and it's totally free. It's been a really amazing opportunity to get people on the water and to just sort of give people that perspective. I'm always blown away because a lot of people who come out sailing with us have grown up in town and have never been out on the water, right? And that's a common, it's an interesting thing for me to think about Hudson as a waterfront community, and its history comes from its location on the river, and yet in daily life today, we're you know, less and less, but to a large degree, many people are divorced from the water. Maybe it's a backdrop or like scenery that you look at. And for a lot of people, it's not even really on the radar. And it's interesting hearing people talk about like uptown Hudson being hard to get it. There's very similar things about the waterfront being a little hard to get it. And fortunately, I think this year we're going to fix that bridge, which will be so many other good things in the works to do that. But in addition to my work with Sloop Club, I've also worked for Hudson Cruises, which is the commercial boats we have at the waterfront. I've worked as an engineer and relief captain for Guy Falkenheimer. So he runs a number of boats. One is a ferry boat that goes back and forth to Athens. I drove that boat for a while. That's actually really fun, super cool way to get people out on the water. And when you're talking about micro-tourism and, you know, connecting, Hudson Athens, Hudson Catskill, I always loved, I don't know if you remember that billboard that was about Cabot, like it's a river, get over it, about the Green County, Columbia County tourism thing, but yes, it's an order to cross it on a boat, ideally, but whatever, get over it. And I also, now I'm actually working down in Kingston as well for the Maritime Museum. They're driving a solar-powered boat they have. Nice. And I bring that up only to mention it's interesting to be part of an organization there that is all about tourism and getting people out in the water, and they come from a historical perspective. It's a museum, and I run a tour boat where we basically take people to lighthouses, we take them on industrial waterfront tours, and four days a week we have, not a full boat, but a lot of people showing up to just spend a little bit of time on the Rondout Creek, is the body of water down in Kingston, and learn about the history and get out there, and it's such a neat sort of resource. And so I've enjoyed my time there, and that's also especially cool because they're doing it on a solar-powered boat, so simultaneously you can talk about the beauty of the Hudson River, the history of the Hudson River, and also the environmental story of it just naturally comes up, and you're on the solar-powered boat, so you can feel very good about your interaction with it. And then the current project I'm putting most of my energy into is called the Schooner Apollonia, and this is a project that's all about trying to bring back freight and cargo work on the Hudson River. The idea is how can we, originally everything, all stuff moved on the Hudson River pretty much, if you look back a couple hundred years. And just the way we're talking about, maybe the water is a way that people, from a micro-tourism point of view, move around. Maybe it's a way that goods and products move around. Again, that for me, it's an environmental focus that got my attention shifted that way. But what I find so interesting about freight and cargo on the river is not only that you can move stuff without emitting carbon, but it's also that when you show up with stuff, you create events and you create activities. Right, it's like the idea of like the port is this exciting place where, oh my gosh, what came, and we just sailed up the new beer they're making in Kingston, and it showed up in Hudson, and we're at the waterfront, and what is it? Or hey, all the preserved goods, we're loading up at Rolling Grocer, and we're bringing it down to the waterfront in Yonkers. And, it's like there can be a really neat level of connection. So that's sorry, that was longer than I meant that to be, but that's just sort of like an idea of where I'm coming from, and. So I've had a number of ideas for initiatives at the waterfront, and a lot of it just comes from, are you Sydney?
Yes.
When Sydney was talking, one thing that struck me is like things you can implement right now, I think was one of the things that you said, but that's like, for me, the waterfront in Hudson actually has a lot going on, and it's a lot of things that with a little bit of support, I think could go a lot further. And I can talk from a personal point of view of like community sailing programs with the Sloop Club. It's like, we've run that as a sort of, a very underfunded nonprofit that does it a little bit. And with minimal support, that could be a much more regular program. In addition, the ferry service, Guy's always struggling to figure out how to make that ferry service pay for itself and how to justify the hours that he runs. And so that's an idea. And so I guess in my thoughts to Tourism Board and sort of the reason I'm here tonight, I guess I should say, is I feel like there's a lot of these like very... what to me seems like low-hanging fruit, and like for very small amounts of money, you can create a lot of public good. The stuff, of course, that gets me excited is all that on the water stuff and access to the water stuff. But what I was thinking about trying to do is put together like a coalition of all these different folks at the waterfront for sort of a proposal to tourism board. But I understand that maybe it's too early in the process for this. You know, I kind of just wanted to come here tonight to, I can rattle off a lot more ideas if you'd like, and I can also shut up. But I guess I just wanted to say, like, I don't really know how to approach the board, but I do think the waterfront is an amazing resource. I think we're in a specific moment. I'll just add maybe like two other things, and I will shut up. But like Hudson Athens Lighthouse, people probably know, just got named one of the 7 places worth saving in New York State. And, you know, like, you can get to the lighthouse, and, you know, all these things I want to say, I want to acknowledge the people who are working on them and not, you know, not talk negatively about anyone. Quite the opposite. I want to say that, like, you know, to me it's awesome the programming they run, but it's too bad it's only once a month that you get to go out to the lighthouse, and why can't that be more often, right? So that's an example of something that could be supported. Additionally, the Sloop Club has always talked about having a kayak rack at the waterfront. You know, a lot, we have actually in Hudson an amazing way to put in kayaks and canoes. We have like a handicap accessible kayak launch there. It works great. But you still have to have a car and drive your boat down to the waterfront, and it's, you know, takes some lifting and moving around. And that's something a lot of waterfronts have done. The Sloop Club is an excellent organization who could sort of administer, you know, whether it's a lottery or whether it's just, you know, maybe they're boats that you take a training class with us and then anyone can have access to them. You know, there's a lot of ideas. And there is a business. Of course, TJ is running Hudson Paddles down at the waterfront. He is renting paddles, paddle boards and kayaks, which is great. But there are a lot of people who have their own boats and just want to put them in, and that's like a kayak rack would be an easy thing. It turns out DPW actually has a kayak rack. It's just not installed. You know, so there's that's another example of this thing to me that seems like, wow, it shouldn't take a lot of effort to sort of get something like that up and running. And then the one other thing is, to me, visiting vessels. Like I talk about Apollonia, like coming to town, but like most folks here have probably heard of Clearwater. Mm-hmm. Clearwater is like an amazing boat that for 50 years has been running environmental education on the Hudson River, and it's remarkably challenging to get them to come to Hudson because no one sort of gets on them about it, and naturally if you're a boat on the Hudson River, most of the people and most of the money are down south, and so that's where a lot of their programming winds up being. And you know, if we had a concerted effort or some sort of like visiting vessel fund that someone could just reach out to Clearwater and say, hey, if you want to come to Hudson in the middle of the summer, I got them to come last year and we did a really quick afternoon program, but we got a van full of kids from Oakdale and all of the Social Justice Leadership Academy kids from Kites Nest. And it was really fun to get out on the water, but it was, in my opinion, it was too quick because it was like, we had to squeeze it around the other boats that were there. We got them down, we did a quick cruise, and then they took off. And it's like, it's too bad they weren't here for 2 days. And that could have been like, come down to the waterfront, have a picnic, have a potluck, see a boat. Maybe there's a sale for the public in addition to the program for the kids. There's a lot of other boats, the solar boat in Kingston included, that I think if there was a little, like a gentle nudge or an invitation from Hudson, and unfortunately it is a little bit of money for a lot of these boats because, you know, they need to figure out how to cover costs. There are all these like broke organizations that don't know how to do that, but it's not a lot of money, I guess is my point, for what to me feels like a lot of public good. So sorry for talking so long.
Thank you.
It's welcome, Sam.
On a very high end of that, I lived in Greenport, Long Island for a while, and Greenport, Long Island started this program called Tall Ships, where they started to, they had to pay, but they invited these beautiful, beautifully restored historic ships, and I think there were 5, maybe 6. One was from the Portuguese Navy, and you basically paid a certain amount of money, and you could go on a tour, but it also, the tourism that it drove in the town, I mean, the restaurants were full, they did this in the middle of the week, it spilled into the weekend, but I don't want to say like this is what we should jump into, but at the high end of what you're talking about is there were people that were coming from, you know, East Hampton, and there were people who were coming from New York City to see these tall boats.
Well, along the lines of tall ships, I mean, tall ships are amazing, and right now there are tall ships that come up to Kingston because the Maritime Museum will bring them, and they don't go any further because there's no reason to, and it's actually... And another example, I don't know if anyone, did anyone here see that movie Maiden that came out last year? It was about the first female race crew to sail around the world. Yeah. But it's an amazing story about female sailors back in the day when it was a very, well, still is a male-dominated world, but it was like an entirely male-dominated world in the 60s. But the woman who was the first skipper to race in this race around the world actually went and purchased the boat and is coming up the Hudson with it in April. And this is, again, like, I know this stuff because I work at the Maritime Museum and we're hosting them, and I'm always like, why don't you come up to Hudson? And I mean, granted, now that's bigger picture of, like, when did the docks get put in? You know, there's, like, a lot of things. So there are many moving parts, and I guess that's where I'm saying I'm happy to help try to figure out some of the logistic sides of it, which I understand pretty well. But you're absolutely right. And it is, like, when you're in a town and those boats show up, it's kind of stunning.
Well, and they were critical. People were actually critical of the program because after ticket sales and after all was said and done, they only made $50,000. There were $50,000 in the black. So it was, and I'm thinking to myself, like, that's not bad. I mean, you had 500,000 people come through your town in a five-day period.
They're not actually quantifying even what the benefit of the B&Bs, the restaurants,
right.
Just overall. To be in the black is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Sam, what I want to say is, there's another area which is similar, which is all the artists that we have in Hudson.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure that we were having the meeting, but Jane Ehrlich spent 3 months getting that organized.
Yeah.
And
she
can't really do that. I mean, it's not fair to ask her to do that again, but she would only need a little money to get someone to write the
things,
like $1,000.
Remember the art Hudson? It was kind of, it wasn't Art Walk. I think it was
just Open Studio. Tremendously successful.
I should tell you that we're asking this board to allocate the money this year rather than the Common Council did. The last tourism board handed the Common Council $20,000 to disperse. We're asking you to keep it and do it yourselves at some point.
Jane is going to do it again. She's actually asked artists whether they want to do it twice a year or once a year, and it's a heated debate. I think that's something we'll let the artists decide, but she's going to continue.
I'll also send to Calvin all the paperwork that it's involved, because this, you know, the city needs to monitor it all, make sure there's no, you know,
of course,
problems in terms of accounting for what you're doing and all that kind of thing.
If Sam, if you could write some of these things up, you know, because you and Jane could write up things because they've done it, they're experts. And Hannah could write, you know, it's like what we know about, we can contribute.
Absolutely.
Because when Kristen isn't here tonight, but the point she made at the last meeting, which we had in December, I think it was, is they were talking about Winter Walk and how to, and it was so successful, but how to make it extended.
Yeah,
you know, how
it's so short.
And then it turned out that there are problems, of course, but she said, it will take somebody to do it. You know, we love the idea, but who's going to do it? Kristen can't do it. Chris can't do it. You know, Hannah can't do a whole winter walk, or I can't, or, you know, Cece. But somebody who was designated that we hire, you know, to expand it, but it means press releases, it means a lot of different things. So I think that, and that's what Kristen said. She said, somebody has to do it. And that's the stumbling block, you know, with so many wonderful ideas. So I think if we go into this thinking, we have to get press releases, what is involved in outreach, you know, and, but I think we can do that. I'm sure we can do that, if we're thinking that way.
And I think as we prioritize, if we start to look at, I mean, the one thing that I hear over and over again, and I've even asked on Facebook, on the Hudsonian, I've asked, like, what days, like, when are people the most bored in Hudson? When do they want to do things? When do they want activities? And, you know, nothing's open on Tuesday night, but interestingly enough, everybody wants activities on Wednesday. So are there opportunities to have a program that's like midweek on a Wednesday? Or is there something, does it make sense to do something like Thursday, Friday, so then you're going into the weekend, but something that's not only going to get people from the city to come up, but like little people in Hudson to get out of their homes and go to Little Debs.
What are they? Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Yeah, so we do something like on Hump Day.
You have to be careful that it's not two adults.
That's on my list of ideas. One of them is Waterfront Wednesdays, which is just
awesome.
But last year with Apollonia, with my boat, we practiced a few times just like, what would it be like to have a movie at the park?
Yeah,
and so we
great.
Just like project a movie on the sails and see who shows up. And I actually got Hudson Paddles to collaborate. So the 2 hours before the movie, they were doing free rentals of paddle boards.
Oh,
wow,
that's great.
And I've been talking with TSL about like how could we expand that this year. And Linda has a lot of good ideas, but one of which is she's like, well, you need a food truck. But
yeah.
It's true, like if you, and I, you know, again, of course I'm coming from the waterfront point of view and, you know, 7th Street Park, there's lots of other cool places. But I do think, I like the idea of a midweek, because a lot of times on the weekends there are like festivals that post up and kind of take over the waterfront and have big tents and, you know, whatever's happening. But the middle of the week, and especially if we're talking about, you know, like I love the scope is tourism for people who live in town and nearby, not just people who come in for the weekend. So then it feels like if Wednesday is a tourism board focused thing, that says that really clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing that the poll showed is we asked people, okay, you said Wednesday was the day you want activities. What do you want? And we had this whole list. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. Bonfires was the number one. More people wanted bonfires than anything else. Now, this is a small sampling of people who are Facebook active.
That makes sense. Because bonfires could be all year round. Because people bonfire in summer. They definitely bonfire in fall. And wintertime, it wouldn't be an excuse to say when it's cold. Because that bonfire would kind of bond everyone. Like some type of warmth and then active.
You get the hot chocolate going.
Well, I went to college in Providence, Rhode Island, where they have the water fire, which is, you know,
yes.
It was kind of a funny thing for an art school student to witness, but it was hugely popular amongst people. I think people within the state were coming there, and they would just have these fires on the river, on the little river that runs through Providence, and then vendors would come out, and it was like a Saturday, I think it was every Saturday during a certain season, and it was great. It was madness down there. People would come with their kids, and usually live music and different events like that. And you know, it was cool.
So I think we do need to look at like not what everyone else does, but like what's the unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I had a client up in Ottawa, and they like come up a day early, and I'm like, okay. And it was the middle of winter, and I'm like, not happy to be in Ottawa. We went ice skating on a canal, and then 20 minutes later, like, oh, there's this little hut that sells beaver tails, and I'm like, it's a pastry. It was absolutely...
That sounds cool.
Like, I still talk about it to this day. I was like, I went ice skating in Ottawa on a canal and ate a beaver tail. And,
mm-hmm.
Like, that's the type of thing. So instead of us doing, like...
Create these kind of... Yeah.
And bonfires on the waterfront. I also love the fact that when you talk about the waterfront, I was involved with our Hudson waterfront for a little while. And there's a focus there, which is very important. But I love when people start to see the waterfront as the South Bay, the North Bay, Oakdale. Like, our waterfront should just be, like, all of these resources.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Yeah, it's a good idea.
I had a picture. I deleted it because I got in the phone. But anyway, on the picture, it took me 3 months. But I was cataloging how many people would go and knock on that tourism little hut over the summer, because I started like right before Flag Day, because I had the store at Green Street, and people would always walk the loop, and I would see somebody knocking. I'm like, why are you knocking? Like, the other thing's supposed to pop up, like, hey! And so I was saying to myself, you know, it sucks, because I remember when I was younger, someone was always in there. It was always an elderly person, but there was someone always in there, and then they switched over to the youth. They had workforce investment for the youth in there with an older person, and they would go out and like, do stuff. I don't know what they were handing out, but, you know, for me, it was like, that should happen. That should be happening all year round. That hut is there. I think it's placed in the wrong spot on the square, but I think it should be happening all the time. I think it should be on the other corner,
yeah,
by where Inky and
Louise.
Yeah. Just because when you enter the town, that's an entry point,
yeah,
from Worth Avenue. But I think activating that again and kind of maybe going with the idea. When I'm in Kingston, I always look up at the banners that are all, that different banners tell you different stuff that's happening. Like, there's award stuff, and then there's stuff that's happening just for the season. I feel like if we had that in certain parts, like the Wednesday,